We're now on the third Sunday in Lent, and we are continually immersing ourselves in this series of sermon in rediscovering Jesus. My hope and my prayer is that throughout this season of Lent and Easter, that this will be an invitation for us not just to know about Jesus, but really have a deep and growing relationship with Him. The story about the Jesus cleansing of the temple is something very interesting, because not all of those that happen in the Bible are recorded in the four of the synoptic gospels, namely Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. There are a few things that showed up in all of these four gospels, like the crucifixion or the resurrection, and even the baptism of Jesus. And many of these things are a significant part of Jesus' ministry, but only all few of them are recorded in all the four gospels. And the Jesus cleansing of the temple is one among them. Perhaps to show us the importance of this story in the entire biblical narratives. And so let's continue on to be in a time of prayer as we invite the Spirit to prepare our hearts and our minds as we listen to the Word. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we are blessed that we are here in person, and those that are able to join with us online, we are equally blessed as well. I ask now that you will remove me from this equation. May you be the one that will speak to us. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to begin by saying that disruptions are indeed part of life. Just last week, London's Heathrow Airport was totally shut down for 24 hours because of power outage from a large fire nearby, causing a massive disruption at one of the world's busiest travel hubs. And in last 2 weeks, I walked alongside with families who unexpectedly lost their loved ones. We all had times of disruptions, don't we, church? Whether it's flight delays, illnesses, a call from a doctor, a death in the family, and other life-changing circumstances. Our gospel lesson today brings us to a kind of Jesus who arrived at the temple with a mission to disrupt. Jesus here traveled to Jerusalem because of this important event called the Passover. This is a pilgrimage during which people from all across Israel are converging. It's being remembered as a pinnacle moment of their faith journey to remember Israel's liberation and being freed from Egypt, which was the most fundamental moment in their shared and collective memories. So Jesus, along with thousands of pilgrims, traveled to Jerusalem because of Passover. And like other pilgrims, their major stop is the temple. And when Jesus arrived at the temple, what did he find? He found merchants all over among their animals, money changers busily exchanging coins, pilgrims at their stalls, bartering with the exchange denarii into half shekels so pilgrims could pay for what they called at the time temple taxes. Animals were being offered as sacrifices for ritual purity from daily life so they could participate fully in the Passover. Rather than praising those that were gathered at that temple at that moment, Jesus goes into rage. Creating his own whip, Jesus chases out the animals, sending the merchants after them. He, and I quote, pours out the coins and turns over tables, causing the one seated money changers to scatter. He commanded the dove sellers, take these things out from here. Stop making my father's house a place of business. In other translation, it says a place or a marketplace. This is a different kind of Jesus that we saw here. Let's kind of digest the text for a while. This is not the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, right? That we have just celebrated during the Advent season. He's not here healing or telling parables. He has a whip and he turned over tables. And some of us here are really surprised. We haven't seen this kind of side of Jesus. If you're expecting a soft-spoken, gentle Jesus here, you will be disappointed. Because in this gospel story, Jesus is actually the opposite here. He goes into rage. He confronts the sinners. He outwits his enemies and goes into dismantling this entire system that has been in operation for a while. And Jesus here is holding nothing back. The gospel writer literally has Jesus walking out like whipped with cords. I'm always the image of Indiana Jones. It's always the one that keeps on coming up in my mind whenever I see whips with cords. So that's kind of the way the gospel writer described, ready to administer those justice. Drove them out of the temple, overturning their tables with anger and with authority. Jesus caused, I'm sure, such an enormous chaos, disruptions everywhere. Again, this is not a gentle Jesus, a meek and mild that we often see in many of the Bible stories, paintings, stained glass windows of our churches. This is the kind of Jesus that are really driving out animals, overturning tables, spilling coins across the floor, and turning the business as usual life at the temple. And this was no small feat, because on that day, it is believed that there were about 300,000 to 400,000 pilgrims, priests, men and women, Gentiles and merchants, and everyone in between converging in that place for the Passover. Biblical scholars agreed that this marketplace was set up gradually over time and grew in a way that no one really noticed. Sort of like a started in a kind of small flea market. Have you been to flea market lately? Yeah, and then beginning to grow, multiply probably 10 or 20 times. For Jewish people at the time, and for the most religions at that time as well, sacrifices at the temple, they were not optional. They were just part and fabric of their religious life. In other words, they are supposed to be there. They have to supposed to be showing up. To quote Father Michael Marsh when he gave this commentary, and I quote, the animals and money changers had always been there. And that's how the system worked. It was business as usual for them to be there. So at that moment, Jesus saw, got rage, and occupied that temple because they desecrated that holy ground. They are perpetuating injustice. And Jesus was not only speaking truth to power here, he's actually demonstrating this powerfully, confrontationally, and even directly. It is not just Jesus' anger that demonstrates his humanity here, but also his authority that confirms his solidarity with the human family. And this authority is found in Jesus that gives witness to how we not simply speak truth to power, but how we might disrupt and overturn tables today. And that was not even the end of the story, church. Because what happened next is far more interesting and powerful. It seems like having a meltdown on all the merchants and causing this huge scene could be the biggest disruptions of that day. Have you noticed that? But the more disruptive thing is not what he does, what he only does, but what he says. After all this physical disruption, Jesus began to confront the authorities that questioned him. And that begins on verse 19 to 21. Listen again to what Jesus said. He answered back those Jewish authorities by saying these words, and I quote, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus isn't talking about the temple here as a building. The Bible tells us that he's rather talking about his own body, his own self. Jesus is talking here about the fact that people will destroy Jesus' body and he will raise it up again in 3 days. In a sense, Jesus here is predicting his own death, right? He's already telling them, foreshadowing what's going to happen, telling them that you cannot destroy the body. You cannot destroy me. Because on the third day, he will rise up again and experience the power of the resurrection. Jesus is actually here talking about the power of Easter. Friends, in this season of Lent, we are invited in the midst of so many disruptions of life. We're invited to understand more a different side of Jesus. A Jesus who's been so disruptive, who disrupts everything, presenting us with life as it could be. He disrupts our time. He disrupts our priorities. He disrupts our way of being. The way we think, the way we talk, and the way we act. Jesus disrupts our relationships, our values, and our communities. He disrupts our churches. And the reason, because he wants us to align ourselves into his will. He wants us to grow. He wants us to understand more of what it means to follow Jesus. The story of Jesus disrupting at the temple is an invitation for us that no matter what we have in this thing called life, Jesus will step in and he will be the one that will have the power and the authority to turn things upside down. And when we overturn ourselves to God, we will be more and more like him. What are the disruptions that are taking place in your life right now, church? And how you would align that to a disruptive Jesus that wants to challenge you to be like him and to follow his will. Let us pray. Forgive us, for there are times that we have tried to expect a very soft and gentle spoken Jesus. And that we miss the point of seeing a different side of Jesus, whose power and authority are manifested right within the story of your Bible, who made whips of cords and drove them all out from the temple, who turned things upside down with anger and yet with authority. This is not a gentle kind of Jesus that we expect. And yet this is the Jesus that we need, most especially in some of the most disrupted moments of our lives. Help us to rediscover you, Lord. Help us to identify more and more of what you mean to us. A life that is fully in alignment with you. And when we allow ourselves to be disrupted by God, the world can be disrupted as well, in all the ways that it most needs. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.